With me. Oh God, I ask that you pour into my body, and as the words tumble from my mouth, God, may they be your words and the words that the people need to hear this day. We ask this in your many names, but especially in the name of Jesus. Amen. I always tell people, Penny, that you taught me how to pray. Because when you say amen, you mean amen. So I just love that about you. And today, we are actually going to be looking at two different prayers from two women in Scripture and how they responded when God called them, or when they were called by God by the very act of being available. The story of Hannah is the story of the person who gave birth to the judge Samuel. And Samuel was the one who helped Israel and the tribes decide who would be their first king. Hannah was married to a man who had two wives. Peninnah was his first wife, and she was his second wife. And that was a common experience in the times of which these stories were told and later written down. We know that Abraham had two wives. We know Jacob had a couple of wives, a couple of servants that he had children with. And so it's a common practice that they had. And yet, even though women were sought after to be wives, they were marginalized in this day and age. They had one purpose, and that was to bear children. And if they didn't bear children, their value was diminished. Hannah couldn't have kids. And while she was loved by her husband, in fact, he says to her at some point in the stories, "I love you most. Isn't that enough?" when she cries because she can't have a child. And for her, it's not enough. She's tormented by the other wife because the other wife has many children. And she feels like she is judged by the community because she's not living in to the one expectation she has, to have a child. Hannah is married at the time that her story is told. Mary is not. Mary is probably between the age of 12 and 13. She's betrothed to Joseph, but according to the stories that we are told, she has not been with him, and an angel shows up. I always love this part. The angel shows up. And the angel says to Mary, "Mary, God's calling you, wants you to know that you're going to get pregnant." Or some such, that's a loose translation of what I'm sure was the Aramaic of the time. And Mary responds, "I'm not sure how that's going to happen." Again, loose translation. Haven't known a man. And the angel says, "God will come upon you." Scripture tells us that Mary said, "That's what the Lord wants. Makes it so. Make it so." I don't know about you, but I would be more inclined to go, "Okay. The angel, and I'm going to get pregnant." Kind of might overwhelm me with the realities of that. I think what's important about these two stories, first and foremost, as we look and explore these six weeks while Nathan is gone, the ways that God calls us and the way that God uses us in ministry, is the idea that these two women are called to give their whole bodies to God in prayer, in ministry, in supplication. I've never been pregnant, but I was raised to get pregnant. That was my job. That was the way I was raised. I was raised to get married and have lots of babies. It was the expectation of me. And I've been through my sister's pregnancies and many friends' pregnancies and nieces' pregnancies, and it's a whole body experience. The first 3 months, everybody that I talk to talks about the exhaustion. This new life form is being created inside of you, and all you want to do is eat and sleep and throw up. Sign me up for that. Apparently, the exhaustion never quite goes away, but the nausea does. Some women report that they have the best, wonderful feelings they've ever had while they're pregnant. Those hormones go a little wacky, and they're joyful all the time. I have a niece that's cranky all the other times except when she's pregnant. And she said if she didn't have to raise the child, she'd be pregnant 100% of the time, because the way that her body reacts is great joy. My best friend in high school is allergic to a protein that her body creates when she's pregnant and has almost died twice as a result of being pregnant. There's some of us that choose not to have children. Some of us here sitting here cannot have children because, well, you're men, cis men. But that doesn't change what that message is about. And that is our bodies being taken over in ministry to God. Because you see, when Hannah gets pregnant, she says, or before Hannah gets pregnant, Hannah says, God, if you let me have this baby, I'll give him to you. And he will be yours to do with what you will. Now, I've just been an auntie, and I've been an auntie bear, that mama bear kind of thing. If somebody wanted to take one of those four kids that I helped raise, yeah, probably not going to happen. It really would take the angel Gabriel to convince me that that was something I was supposed to do. I mean, that's my visceral response. But Hannah promises this before she gets pregnant. And Hannah keeps her promise. And when Samuel is the age of 3, she takes him to the temple and dedicates him to God. And Samuel lives with the prophet Eli from then on. The story of Mary, I think, is one in which it's easier to kind of see the way in which sometimes God calls us, because Mary didn't have a real active role in the idea that she would get pregnant by the child of God. That was something where she was chosen. But one of the things I think we forget in the story of the birth of Jesus, one of the things that we get lost in is we always think of the divine Jesus, the Jesus that came from God, and we forget that Mary was a human being, and Jesus was of Mary and God. And without the humanness of Mary, there would be no Jesus. Mary gave up so much to carry Jesus. She's betrothed, but not yet married. Can you imagine the gossip? Those of us that have come out to our families, think about the way that we were gossiped about when we first came out, where Uncle Betty was telling Uncle Tom about, you know, Auntie Kimberly, who was with Auntie Gail. Can you imagine in a culture where women's values are determined by who they're married to and how many children they have, and when you get pregnant outside of wedlock, the law says you should be stoned? It is a death sentence. And Mary says to the angel, okay. She loses her family, she loses her culture, her society, her community. But the one person she doesn't lose is Joseph. In the end, we know the story that Mary and the brothers followed Jesus. But the risk she took in getting pregnant was also the risk of losing Jesus or Joseph. And I actually believe that it's because of Joseph that we have the story of the family following Jesus when he begins his ministry. Because Joseph said, this is a woman of faith, and I believe her. And so we're going to go forward with our plans to get married, and Mary will give birth to this child as if he were my own, and I will raise him as my own. When we are called by God, we often think about that as an answer to prayer or a desire to be a servant of God, and we do it in ways of donating money. Sometimes we bring food here to the front of the church and we ask that these food be available to people who are in need in our community. Sometimes we donate coats. Sometimes we donate blankets. Sometimes we do nothing at all. But without a body that responds with their whole body, we are not people of faith. We are simply bystanders along the way. In order to fulfill the call of God in our ministries, we are required to offer every part of ourselves. Worship our God with our mind and spirit is something that we find much easier, but the worship of God with our very bodies, well, brunch gets in the way sometimes. The work schedule makes me tired at the end of the day sometimes. I don't really like the people that are doing that ministry. I don't want to participate in that ministry, so I will step aside for that ministry. And God says to people on the margins in Scripture, I'm going to take the fruit of your body and use it to glorify me. Or I'm going to call you and I'm going to save the world by your body, by your willingness to nurture me, by your willingness to feed me, by your willingness to care for yourself as you care for the life that is growing inside of you. We're not all going to get pregnant. I saw a movie. I saw what happens when you give birth. I decided at 16 that was not happening to me. So I'm not going to have a baby, but I'm going to be open to new life coming from me. I'm going to say to God, what is it that I can do to make you present here on earth? How is it that this little chubby Kimberly, who does a whole different kind of work during the work week, how is it, God, that I might bring you present into this earth? And God calls each of us to answer that question. It is much easier for us to find excuses to not answer the call of God. And sometimes the way that we look at that is we're afraid that if we decide to do something, that it may not be a ministry that anyone will join us in. That's a hard one. There have been people in our church in the past who've had a ministry of knitting hats for the homeless during the winter time. We've had these lovely knitted hats just sitting in the room, so when somebody comes in for a bag of food in the wintertime, they get to pick out a knitted hat to help keep their head warm. When it started, it was one person. And Alice just knitted and knitted and knitted. And then we had a little knitting group in the basement of MCC Portland. I never thought I would see that when I started at this church. Of course, we live in Portland, and now men knit. Who knew? When I was 12 and Mrs. Brewer was teaching us how to knit, the boys weren't allowed to come to the knitting circle. But now in Portland, men can knit. It's allowable. But one person started the ministry and just did it. Sometimes we don't have an idea of what to do, and we go to a place and think, I want to do that ministry. I want to knit. But we don't know how to knit. That may mean that that is not your ministry, or that you need to have somebody teach you to knit. It's okay to try new things and step back and say, I guess that wasn't what I'm being called into. We are invited into a relationship with God that is unique to our own gifts, to our own strengths, to our own particular ways of being in relationship with God. How many of you, when you pray, clasp your hands together in some form? How many of you, raise a hand, how does he do that? How many of you, when you pray, kneel and pray? How many of you, when you pray, hold your hands out to pray? When you say grace, how many of you hold hands with the people at your table? How many of you do none of the above? I have this idea of my relationship with God as being one in which God walks beside me, and we are engaged in constant conversation. I'm a little chatty. If you don't know me very well, you'll find that out soon enough. I'm constant conversation with God. And every once in a while, I don't remember if you guys did this when you were in grade school. Every once in a while, I get this from God. Remember that when you were a kid and somebody'd walk up and kick you in the bum? I get that from God when I'm sort of on a different track. I feel myself kind of going, ooh, wrong track. Got to get myself back on track. But just like we all choose to pray differently, but we engage God in our own ways, how we make those prayers evident in the world, how we show in ourselves and in the way we are in the world is going to be different from each one of us, for each one of us individually, and for our church. For those of you who are newer to us, we're in a process of discernment right now, looking for a new space, intending to sell this space and move somewhere else. Once we get there, part of our process is going to be looking at how God calls MCC Portland in the future. I don't know about you, but that scares me a little bit. We've had a kind of a rough couple bumpy years in the last couple of years. Some people have stopped attending. Some people have restricted their giving in ways that make it hard for the board to manage some of the finances because the money is restricted in such a way. Some people have stopped giving altogether. People have stopped coming in and doing some of the ministries that we have had. I feel kind of glad that I'm one of those old fogies who has stuck around here because I have hope. Because this isn't the first time that we've grown and shrank. And I have come to the realization that part of that has to do with this building. We get to a certain size, and there's no place to go to do more. There's no space to do more. We have a ministry right now that is in a little tiny room that needs about 8 times the room that it has in order for people to be able to go through the food pantry and select their groceries in a manner that does not create a bottleneck. What could we do if we had more space for that? We had a school that used to meet here, and they loved meeting with us, and we loved having them here. 5 days a week, we had kids running around this building, making a joyful noise. And they outgrew us because we didn't have space for classrooms. There are people who have work in our community that reach out to gay and lesbian youth, that reach out to the gay and lesbian elder community, that reach out to the entire community of Portland in unique and different ways through music. And we don't have the space to accommodate them because if we have a group singing, it's hard for us to have a group downstairs meeting, because there's no sound barriers to all of that. God is calling our very body of this church to get pregnant with new life and give birth to something new. We are being called to let go of all that has been, to let go of the barrenness. sadness that we are feeling in different times, and to say, God, please pour into me. Make me be your Mary, or let me be your Hannah, and either way, the birth that comes out of me will be for the sole purpose of making your presence on earth known. We are bound and beloved by God into a new way. And if we're going to walk around critically claiming that we are dead, I promise you we will be dead. But if we claim a new life, if we open up our bodies and say, God, pour into me, God. This is my body, God. Do with it as you will. I promise you, the spirits of those in Portland will see God. Do not be afraid, the angel says to Mary. Do not be afraid, for I am about to do a new thing to you, the angels say throughout Scripture. They appear often. I keep waiting for mine. Do not be afraid, my brothers and sisters. Take a deep breath. Let go of your barrenness. Open yourself up to the Spirit of God pouring into you. And be brave enough to let the body that comes out of you go. Amen and amen.